Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the PW Torch Livecast. I am Wade Keller, editor and publisher of the Pro Wrestling Torch Weekly Newsletter, and also PWTorch.com and MMATorch.com, along with host of this, the PW Torch Livecast. Thank you so much for joining me today, and we'll be welcoming in just a moment our special guest co-host on today's program, John Arezzi, formerly of the Pro Wrestling Spotlight radio show in New York from the late 80s through the mid-1990s. If you are a regular listener of the livecast, you've certainly likely heard John in recent months, and actually over the past couple of years, he's been a semi-regular on the program, and we'll be talking about tonight's final hype, not counting tomorrow night, but final hype as far as the Raw brand goes, for Survivor Series. So we look forward to hearing from you also on today's program. And the number to call is 515-605-9345. Give us a call right now if you want to join the program and talk about tonight's episode. Certainly it ended, I thought, on a high note. I thought that the final segment on the show exposed some problems with the Survivor Series concept, but it also highlighted some positives. I thought it exposed some problems with the casting of wrestlers in WWE, because obviously the crowd was going against the grain of how wrestlers are cast. I think that's an ongoing serious issue with WWE booking. The fact that fans are booing Roman Reigns as he becomes the center of attention late in the chaotic 5-on-5 brawl between the Raw and SmackDown wrestlers. But we also had fans chanting for AJ Styles when there was a hint that he might be coming out to back up Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon. And there was more of that. And then you just had the awkwardness of Michael Cole. Is he supposed to root for Braun Strowman beating up Shane McMahon? Or is he supposed to be against Braun Strowman, this beast, this monster who's a threat to civilization and scarves and other things. So, but it was a high energy segment. Crowd was amped up and really loving, I think, what they were watching. And so I think that was a good final sell for the Survivor Series. Now I say final sell in quotation marks because, well, they're not really selling Survivor Series. They're giving it away. The announcers talked about how they are, you can sign up and get a month free, which includes this pay-per-view and the next one. But they've been sending out emails starting today to ex-members of WWE Network, giving them now through the end of January for free. All of January, all of December, and half of November for free. Interesting tactic, trying to add subscribers, add active non-paid subscribers so they can end the year perhaps on a high note. I'm assuming they're going for the visual of saying at the end of 2016, we ended with this many more people as active subscribers, many of them not paid, by the end of the year compared to the year before. So I think it's just kind of a visual playing with numbers thing. But nevertheless, that was an interesting development on in the news today that we put up at pwtorch.com. Speaking of pwtorch.com, check it out for results of the WWE European Tour that just wrapped up, and also some excerpts of my interview with Steve Austin with my analysis of those excerpts, where he's been talking about in various stories I put up. We've had various quotes from Steve talking about the Goldberg-Brock Lesnar match, and that was the other big thing hyped on this show. We had Goldberg and Brock Lesnar with a line of about 10 security guards in between them, dividing the ring in half. Eventually, we had a scuffle, but not much in the way of Goldberg and Lesnar interacting directly, a little verbal exchange. It was mostly Paul Heyman and Goldberg. And in the end, Lesnar backed down. Goldberg said, come on, bring it on. And Lesnar said, no, not on your time frame, but I would do it on my time frame. So that is, those are the big things that happened on Raw tonight. So with that stage set, let's bring John Arezzi onto the program. John, welcome back to the live cast.
Hey, good evening, Wade. How are you doing?
Doing all right. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. It was a long day, but you sound like you're much busier than I am. It's been it was a great show. I enjoyed the show tonight. I thought it was real interesting and kind of sets up Survivor Series in a pretty cool way.
What did you like the final segment better or the Goldberg-Lesnar segment better?
I like Goldberg-Lesnar better, and I'm very, very happy that they didn't have them get physical with each other. I thought that that added a lot to it because it could have exposed that, you know, maybe they don't have a synergy in the ring, but I think they handled it pretty well. And seeing Brock back down the way he backed down, for me, that was an enjoyable segment. It just led to the anticipation of the two finally getting back into the ring after all these years.
Goldberg coming back at almost age 50. He turns 50 next month. Crowd eating it up. The Monday Night War era and Goldberg have been kept in people's minds through the video game releases and also WWE Network. And prior to that, you know, DVDs. But I think especially WWE Network and video games seems to be kind of, and YouTube. Heck, I mean, let's not forget about the access people have just on their laptops and always have since YouTube started to all these kinds of. Are you surprised that Goldberg in a WWE city, with a guy who's more identified with WWE in recent years, Brock Lesnar, that they managed to get Goldberg cheered when he's mostly a late 90s WCW guy? I was concerned about that partially because of what happened in Minneapolis, where, you know, was it Minneapolis cheering Lesnar or was it WWE's base audience cheering Lesnar? I was thinking when they finally got in the ring with each other, opposite of each other, and fans had to choose, would they go that strong for Goldberg? And I got to say, I think it was a huge success and Goldberg's got to feel good. I thought that crowd was 100% behind Goldberg.
Yeah, I did too. I thought that was, it was really one-sided. And I think Paul Heyman's, you know, irritating Goldberg and butting in and firing him up. I think the way they put the security guards in between the both of them, they kind of built it up really nicely. And I thought it was handled really well. But I was happy to see that the fans were one-sided on this because that just makes it more exciting when the match takes place this coming weekend.
Anything, you know, on the show?
You know, we spoke about this, I think a couple of months ago before they made the official announcement on what was going on. And we both had our opinions on it. But, I think not just for nostalgic reasons, but, just to get some more people subscribing to the network. And it's an event. It really has turned Survivor Series into an event. I think without that match at the top of the card, it wouldn't be as exciting or I wouldn't be anticipating it as much as I am right now.
Until the last segment, this felt like a one-match show to me in terms of, is it skippable? Would most people think it's skippable? And I think most people would look at this and go, it's a bunch of wrestlers, you know, heels and faces teaming up and heels and faces teaming up for a match so that Stephanie can feel proud of how she drafted. I mean, that's your hook for the emotions that fans are supposed to feel going into it. I just thought that's just not, you know, there's enough wrestling on TV. People don't, but I think they were really smart in that final segment. I agree with you. They were smart not to have Lesnar and Goldberg interact physically. And have mostly Heyman, who gets a ton of credit for the question I posed to you a moment ago, which is, you know, why did Goldberg get cheered? Well, because Heyman's so obnoxious. But I think it was very smart to have so many wrestlers interact and get physical in that main event. Now, the downside is They just gave away a lot of what could eventually be, quote, dream matches if they keep Raw and SmackDown apart. And we saw a lot of interaction between wrestlers on different brands. That said, the crowd, and it wasn't a big chance, and so I think this is mitigated praise or moderate praise. There was a little bit of a holy shit chant, like, well, I can't believe this is happening, Raw versus SmackDown. Like, part of that, John, was the crowd was just happy to have five stars from SmackDown show up that weren't advertised, or six with Ellsworth, I think. But I think part of it was, hey, we're seeing these wrestlers face off, and it's the only time that this will probably happen for the next year, barring some sort of draft or trade or something like that. And I thought that was, again, if we're looking for some positive signs about the roster split, I think we saw a little positive sign there, John, that maybe there is fans are sensing, yeah, these guys don't normally interact, and this feels special.
I agree with you. It was special tonight to see that and see that interaction between the wrestlers from both of these brands mix up with each other a little bit. So, yeah, it built some anticipation for this weekend as well. You know, seeing AJ in the Raw ring was exciting for me. And just kind of Kevin Owens, I mean, you saw the best of the best of what they have right now. And not seeing them all together interacting since the brand split made it interesting and enjoyable.
Yeah. I agree. All right, we're going to go to our first break, and when we come back, we're going to start taking phone calls. So now's a good time to fill up the phone lines. We'd love to hear from first-time callers or people who we haven't heard from in a while. Let's keep the we like our regulars, but we like variety too. So give us a call. 515-605-9345 is our number. Again, that's 515-605-9345. If you cannot call or don't want to call, but you want to contribute to the show, email us right now, pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. That's the name of the show, pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. The name of the show is also our website. If you're looking for a future episode when we go live, or you want to listen to a past show that you might have missed out on, like Magnus was on the show last week, Nick Aldis last Thursday. Really good interview. People still commenting on this to me on a daily basis on email and Twitter. Real wide range of topics, a lot of insight into TNA. Some real cool insight from him on being a 30-year-old wrestler who almost feels like he's searching for, and a talented one with a good look, who feels like he's kind of searching for whether there's a place for him in this industry at this point, after putting in 12, 13 years already in the business. And it's interesting to hear his perspective on the indie scene and WWE and NXT. Of course, he talked about Mickie James. He also talked about in her match coming up at NXT TakeOver. So many cool subjects. Really a fascinating talk with him. So check that out if you haven't yet. And then the week before that, Stone Cold Steve Austin was my guest, along with Gabe Sapolsky. Gabe talked about Flo, his alliance now with Flo Slam. And then after that, Steve Austin spent about 75 minutes with me talking about Goldberg, his future, and so much more about the wrestling industry. Some real poignant comments about Seth Rollins and what is missing with him if the goal is to push him as a lead babyface. So cool stuff. You can find all past shows at pwtorchlivecast.com. That's pwtorchlivecast.com. One more scheduling note. This week's scheduling notes. I guess it's more than one. Tomorrow, Pat McNeil joins me on the post-SmackDown show. PW Torch columnist Pat McNeil joins me following SmackDown. We'll talk about the 900th episode, Undertaker, Edge, so much more, including the final Survivor Series hype. Wednesday, our midweek flagship, Raj Giri from Wrestling Inc., the founder and editor of Wrestling Inc., joins me, Raj, for the first time on the midweek flagship episode of the livecast. We'll talk about the Survivor Series and heck, wrestling journalism and technology changes and all that good stuff too. So join us on Wednesday at 1 Eastern for the midweek flagship PW Torch livecast. And then Thursday, Sean Waltman is my guest, one of my favorite guests on the livecast, and one of yours too, if our feedback is any indication. Sean Waltman, of course, known as X-Pac from DX in the NWO 6 before that. He'll be on with me for about an hour at 1 Eastern on Thursday. So a busy week, a stacked week, great lineup of co-hosts and guests, and I hope you'll be able to join us for all of those shows. This weekend, UFC 205 took place, and we've got you covered. If you saw the event but haven't been to MMATorch.com yet, you need to check it out. A lot of perspective, a lot of quotes from fighters, a lot of analysis of what happened and what it means and what comes next. All up, tons of articles on UFC 205, including a full detailed rundown of the event itself. Go check it out, MMATorch.com. Here are details on our sister site. We know you're a pro wrestling fan because you're listening to the PW Torch livecast. There's a good chance you're also a fan of the UFC and all of mixed martial arts. And if so, we hope you'll check out our sister website at MMATorch.com, covering the news of MMA every single day with breaking news, exclusive analysis, an array of columns, live event coverage, flashbacks, and so much more. Check it out. That's MMATorch.com or download the free MMA Torch app in the iPhone and Android app stores. That's MMATorch.com. All right, we are back live. I'm Wade Keller, editor of PWTorch.com and MMATorch.com, joined by John Arezzi, who hosted the Pro Wrestling Spotlight radio show from the late 80s through the mid-90s and has been involved in wrestling in so many other ways, a regular guest on this program. And we are talking about tonight's episode of Monday Night Raw, and we are welcoming you to call the show, 515-605-9345. Let's get right into it and begin with area code 313. You are up first. Please state your name and the city you're calling from. 313.
Can you hear me?
No, we can. We're getting there. What's your name and where are you calling from?
This is Wayne from Detroit.
Hey, Wayne, what have you got for us?
Well, I wanted to start by saying I really enjoyed the Goldberg and Brock Lesnar segment. I don't know if his family was there, but the way that they ended the segment with Brock, you know, jumping off of the apron, I thought it might have been cool if he would have interacted with Goldberg's family a little bit. I thought that might have could have added some heat to the match. But again, I don't know if they were there or not, but that was just an idea that I had. But what I was calling for, I know Brian Kendrick just won the Cruiserweight title, but I think it would be a good thing if, you know, he lost the belt and SmackDown got the Cruiserweight, because I thought that would just be a better fit for that show. So if they do decide to go in that direction, what do you think Raw will feel, you know, those couple of segments that they usually had the Cruiserweight on, or do you think they'll concentrate on, you know, pushing other stars or anything like that?
Great, Wayne. Appreciate it. We'll put you on hold. We're getting a lot of feedback noise from your phone connection. John, either of those you can start with. The question about Cruiserweights and also the question about maybe Lesnar should have crossed paths with and maybe given a little stare down to Goldberg's wife and son. What do you think of either of those ideas?
Well, I think that if Lesnar would have interacted with Goldberg's family or son, it would have added more heat to it, and it would have made it build even further. So that's my opinion on that, on the Cruiserweight situation. I think that I'm rooting for Hendricks to lose to see the Cruiserweights go to SmackDown. I think SmackDown is a better brand for the Cruiserweight division.
I do too. To have a Cruiserweight show, John, on right after SmackDown and not have SmackDown feature the Cruiserweights, you know, like the lead feud, and to you know, be able to give a full-throat endorsement of it. I mean, why would SmackDown promote 205 Live if it's property of Raw? Like, I just, as soon as they announced 205 Live, I just thought they've got to move this over.
Yes. And maybe that's what they're going to do. And it makes total sense if that happens.
No, it does. What have you thought of the execution of the Cruiserweight so far in general?
I'm impressed with it, but there's something missing for me. And I just think the Cruiserweights on Raw, it just doesn't fit for whatever reason. And just personal opinion. And I would hope that they would be able to incorporate more Cruiserweights and have more of a variety of performers and integrate more performers into the mix on the big shows.
Yeah, I think, like, I mean, there were aspects of tonight's where I definitely didn't like, and part of it is just typical formatting that we get every week. And the idea that all the cruiserweights are just hanging out backstage, standing up in a cluster, just chatting. You know, like, it feels like Raw is produced by the people who also produce Disney Channel programs for 8-year-old girls. I mean, the acting and the exchanges with Charlotte and Sasha Banks, I mean, and that's not just because there's a Miley Cyrus reference today, although it probably does say something, but it helps accentuate my point. But I mean, especially Charlotte and Sasha, although you can point to a lot of segments tonight, the backstage stuff, it's so scripted. The pop culture references are so forced. And I mean, it's Disney Channel for 8 and 9-year-olds. It's that level of scripting and acting. And I just think there's a big part of the WWE audience. In fact, the majority of those who pay for the network and those who support WWE at WrestleMania and SummerSlam, those fans, I think, are turned off by that. And I don't know, John, that WWE gets enough positives out of doing things the way that they do to make up for what a turnoff it is to the majority of our listeners and the demographics that this show draws. I mean, we hear frustration over this stuff. Does it jump out to you as bad as it's ever been in that regard? Or has it always just kind of been, especially Vince McMahon, been kind of quirky and bad, with maybe the exception of some aspects of the Attitude Era? Has he always been like this? Does it jump out to you as someone who's watched for decades? I won't specify how many, John, you can if you want. Going back to the 50s, actually.
Five decades.
Long time. You've been watching WWF on TV since before they were on TV. No. Has it always been this bad in different ways, or does it seem a little worse or a lot worse?
Well, I used to have the Jess McMahon fan club.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm getting really bored with it. It's so obvious and it's so forced, as you're saying. I mean, it is kind of, it's almost agony to watch the backstage stuff. And it's almost agony, as we talk about a lot, that it's still 3 hours. I mean, it's just, it's time consuming. And even my nephew, who we bring up here when I'm a guest usually, who became a, you know, really ardent fan of pro wrestling, he's only watching the recaps now on the network. He's not watching the shows live anymore because of that reason. And that's an indicator to me, because here's a 19-year-old kid who's in the heart of their demographic, if you look at it, with young adult males, and he's getting turned off to the product for the first time since he's been watching it. So that set off an alarm to me as a longtime fan, and it should set off an alarm to the people who are scripting and writing this stuff, that they're starting to lose audience.
Well put, and a good example. And I think they've got to address it. I mean, I think it's gotten worse, considerably worse than it's ever been in terms of the way the segments are scripted. And but I always think back, like Saturday Night's Main Event, John, in the mid-80s, you know, was heavily scripted. And we had, I mean, it was obvious to longtime fans that something was weird about this. It was, I mean, Jesse Ventura felt scripted, you know, when he would do the introductions with Vince McMahon, and you're just like, wait, that just feels like Jesse rehearsed it. And normally he wasn't scripted. You know, Jesse was off the cuff and it worked. Everything about Saturday Night's Main Event on NBC just felt so heavily, meticulously manipulated and scripted. But the other shows weren't. You know, I mean, that was more the exception. And then we had the era of the soundbite promos, which felt a little cliche, but not memorized in the sense that they just went on and on with people interacting. I think the memorized lines are worse when not only do you have to say the line that you've memorized, but also have someone else reacting to it, and then you have to react to them as if you're hearing those words for the first time, when in fact y'all practiced it earlier. And that's when it really starts to look fake, and it really becomes amateur hour, and it really becomes some Disney show for 8 and 9-year-old girls. And that's where I think it's at its worst, when they actually try to have scripted exchanges backstage. I think it's bad when they're in the ring, but I think the crowd, you know, creates some sort of a adrenaline for the wrestlers in the ring, a little different kind of energy where the scripting, while bad, it doesn't feel as bad. But boy, when they film it backstage in that antiseptic setup with the awkward beginnings, you know, where it's like, hey, it's all the cruiserweights just happen to be clustering around. Or why is there a camera in the women's locker room? Like, why is there a camera just filming the women's locker room when Bailey, when Sasha Banks walks in? Everything just feels contrived. And I think they've really gone way further down that road than I can remember.
Yeah, they certainly have. It's it really is. There's no sense. There's no suspension of disbelief anymore at all. And it's all forced. And you got to remember, these performers, I mean, they perform in the ring. And part of what makes them get over are their promos. But when you're scripting every single word they say, and you're not allowing the characters to develop naturally and organically and probably without any participation in the script writing, then it's just forced and it looks phony and it looks cheesy, tacky, and you want to change the channel or you want to just fast forward it if you're DVRing it.
Exactly. Now, one other gripe, and then we'll get back to phone calls. I got Jason on deck. The opening segment, where all the wrestlers lined up in a single file line for water fountain and bathroom break in third grade. Stephanie McMahon, the teacher, says, keep your hands off each other. You will stand at attention, and you will wait to do what you're told when you're told to do it. That's how it comes across. And, you know, we talked about scripting, but there's also this aspect of a bunch of badass wrestlers lining up on that stage together. I hate it. I hate seeing all the wrestlers together like that on orders of Stephanie. It's one thing if they're coming out to break character, to do a tribute to a fallen fellow wrestler. I get that. That's different. But in the context of a show, and this by far isn't the first time they did it. I saw it in person when Triple H and Stephanie were holding court at Target Center a couple years back too in one of these situations. And John, a big part of wrestling has always been the sense that you're watching outlaws who promoters can barely contain. I mean, there's so many examples of wrestlers who you could tell the promoter, the announcer, they were scared of them. They didn't know what they were going to do next. And everybody in WWE, except for Brock, are like third graders who stand in a single file line for drinking fountain time. And it blows my mind, John, that Stephanie McMahon and everybody doesn't look at this and go, well, this isn't good for our company. This isn't good for business. We're selling fans on the idea that these guys are in many cases, not all, but you know, Miz will gladly stand in line because he's a suck up. But all these other wrestlers shouldn't be doing it. It's so demeaning and emasculating to them.
It is. It is, and it's hard to watch because they're supposed to be rebellious. They're supposed to be rebellious, and they're supposed to be against the powers that be. But when you're lining them up like that and you're treating them like adolescent children, it's not good.
I just think the core of wrestling drawing historically, a big component of it is you think you're tuning in to see a bunch of people who are larger than life, and the promoters are just trying to hope to corral them. And by the way, that's why Lesnar Goldberg worked, and that's why the crowd reacted the way they did to it. All right, let's go to our next call. Jason from East Lansing, Michigan. You're up next. What you got for us?
Hey, Wade, how's it going tonight?
Really good.
So, I found with the Supermoon tonight, watching 3 hours of that could be more exciting than watching 3 hours of Raw. I agree with John's nephew that it just is not holding my interest for that long, and I am finding myself doing other things. The main reason I'm calling, though, is I've been a subscriber of the network from day one, and I'd be interested to hear your take. I do get a little chapped when I see these promos for retrieving customers, giving them 3 months free, but I've been a loyal subscriber. What about, you know, everything? I get some value back, but throw me a bone once in a while. I'm just curious what your thoughts are, because I've half thought about canceling. I think the $9.99 is worth the pay-per-views, but you know what? I'll cancel a couple times and you'll beg me back and I'll get some deals and I'll just time it around the events I want to see. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Well, anybody who goes shopping at Christmas knows there's a good chance you're paying more than somebody who shopped 2 weeks ago. And yeah, 2-3 weeks from now, there might be a bigger sale. But yeah, I had some free time. I went and I shopped. I feel pretty good about the deal I got. I'm okay with it. Like, I mean, sales are a part of life. And I think we all accept that we're not always going to get the best price. Now, that said, WWE is going too far. And this latest announcement that sign up that a bunch of people are getting by email, sign up now, mid-November, and get Survivor Series and the Royal Rumble and everything in between, now through the end of January for free. I think that is going to tick people off in a way that people haven't been ticked off yet. And it's – I don't blame you. I mean, I've subscribed to the network. I have to. I gladly do. It's a bargain. My cable bill is a lot lower than it used to be, and I notice that every month. That's nice, and I can't wait for USC to get a $10 a month network, which won't be happening anytime soon with the monster numbers they did on Saturday in all likelihood for Conor McGregor and Eddie Alvarez and company. But I think they're pushing it too far, and I think they are going to have fans going, you know what? If the way to get the best deal is to not be a loyal customer, then I'm opting out and I'll wait for one of those special deals. I think what WWE should do next year is have 3 sales, maybe 4, and have it for 2 or 3 weeks and say, this is a window. If you left us, this is your one window to come back. And if you come back now, you'll get the next month free. But if you constantly always offer the next month free, and now 2.5 months free, yeah, I think that's too far. I mean, I understand you want to get people back. We do it here at PW Torch VIP, but it's not constant. We don't go, hey, if you quit 2 weeks ago, we'll give you the next month free. You know, that would upset
like
people.
It feels like with the cell phone shell game, you know, like, okay, yeah. Or like with cable companies. Okay,
yes.
Fine, I'll break up with you. And like why not just treat your current people well? You know what? Hey, thank you for your loyalty.
Yep.
Because that might entice people that, you know what, maybe I shouldn't have canceled. It was just something that came to mind. And then the other thing that you need to think of with scripting. I graduated from Michigan State, majored in finance and theater. I've been told, I know it's very strange, but one of my acting professors, she used to swear by safe as boring. And, you know,
yeah.
You mentioned the third graders toeing the line, and that's exactly what I think of. I look at it and I go, God, just take a risk. Just go out there. It's easier to ask Vince for forgiveness than permission, you know. But now, with that said, he's not writing my paycheck. So,
Good comments, Jason. Appreciate it. John, your thoughts on the sales and my comments on it, and Jason's also.
Well, I think it's almost like panic selling in a way, because maybe the numbers are not as robust as they were, so they're going after people that. That have lost interest, and it's just not fair to what the caller said, the regular customer. Why aren't they given any perks or spiffs or anything that would entice them to stay long term? So I agree with him 100%. It's almost like as a concert, as someone who promotes some concerts and live events, you have a ticket price. You sell that ticket price to an audience. If ticket sales are slow, does that mean you offer discounted codes to everybody else that hasn't bought their tickets yet? I mean, it's just not fair to the people who are ponying up their money up front.
And the people who pony up their money, unlike at a concert, and I agree with your example, but people who pay up front at least get a better seat. They get the seat of their choosing. And
that's true.
You know, so there's actually, like, I'm thinking of this, I'm like, well, but at least if you realize somebody, you know, like they're handing out freebies at a concert to fill the building for whatever reason, like at least you'd be like, yeah, but I got the best seat in the house. I got something for my money. Nobody at WWE, no network subscriber gets anything special if they pay compared to somebody who gets it free. And so it is a problem.
Why not offer for the person who's been with the network since the very beginning? And has kept that subscription. Hey, as a gift to you, you're getting 6 months free on us because you're such a loyal subscriber. Wouldn't that be nice? Merry Christmas from Vince,
yeah.
From Uncle Vince.
Yes, that'd be good. All right, we're gonna go to our bottom of the hour break. And when we come back, we'll take more calls. And we got Jason from Australia on deck next. But we'll be back right after this word from our sponsors. If you're like me, you've got a list of your favorite podcasts that you listen to throughout the week and also your favorite websites that you listen to throughout the week, but they don't always overlap. But in the case of PW Torch, they do. We hope not only will you listen to the PW Torch livecast every day, but also visit pwtorch.com every day for the latest insider perspective, breaking news, TV reports, live event reports, live pay-per-view coverage, exclusive editorials, and a wide range of other features. Check it out every day. It's mobile-friendly, desktop and laptop-friendly. Stay up to the minute, stay up to date with pwtorch.com. All right, welcome back to the PW Torch livecast. I'm Wade Keller, joined by John Arezzi, formerly of the Pro Wrestling Spotlight radio show out of New York. Those shows are uploaded and available on a weekly basis for PW Torch VIP members now. And right now we're going through early 1992 editions of the livecast, of the Spotlight, Pro Wrestling Spotlight out of New York, leading up to just got through Royal Rumble season, headed into WrestleMania talk, and then a lot of scandals, a lot of a rough time for WWE in terms of publicity. John, those were big episodes of the of Pro Wrestling Spotlight when you had a bunch of people who were going to be on the Donahue show. I think it was the next morning in studio with you in New York. That was a show we put up a week or two ago, talking about the sex and drug scandals and the ring boys and sexual impropriety allegations and all kinds of stuff. There's a generation of fans, including people who listen to this show now, John, who I don't think know much of anything that chapter existed in WWE's history.
Very, very dark chapter. And just you even mentioning those shows, I kind of get some chills up and down my spine, because that was an amazing, amazing time to be in the business as a journalist, trying to cover it and trying to keep up with like the stories that were surfacing almost every day. It was wild. And those were the times when, you know, you go into the studio or you leave the studios in New York City and you kind of looking behind your back and keeping, just being wary of your surroundings, because we were going and reporting, stories and allegations against a huge company that these things almost took that company down when they were happening. So we were, it was a scary time to be covering these types of stories.
This is our post Raw show. We won't get deep into it on our today's program, but I encourage people who want to know more about this early 90s threat to WWE. It's what eventually led to Vince McMahon being indicted on federal charges of steroid distribution. He was found not guilty by a jury. It was a close to 3-week trial. I was there in person in Nassau. I think it was Nassau County, John. Is that right?
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, you were there every day like I was, and that was in Uniondale. It was right near the Nassau Coliseum.
Yep. So got to see a good WWE show and drive to Manhattan on the weekends and do some tourist stuff, but also was there, from jury selection through closing arguments, and it was dramatic. Mm-hmm. And the back issue covering the lead-up to all of that and the trial itself are all available for VIP members, too. We're talking about sales. I'm a little bashful to say this, but I'm going to do it anyway. We've got our VIP sale going on right now, and we welcome ex-subscribers and new subscribers. Enter coupon code when you go to the sign-up page, SURVIVE2016. SURVIVE2016. And when you enter that coupon code, SURVIVE, what's that, John?
So this isn't that the case in today's world. Surviving 2016 is going to be a real challenge for everybody.
Yes. So SURVIVE 2016 is the coupon code. Get full details over at pwtorch.com/govip. When you go to pwtorch.com/govip, that page will tell you more than I can, believe it or not, and even a long-winded 8-minute plug where I'm just talking about all the stuff that I'm proud of that is part of a VIP membership. New stuff every day, plus close to 3 decades of archives. New retro radio shows from the Attitude Era and the late 80s through mid-90s with John Arezzi's Pro Six Spotlight, the every single day Wade Keller Hotline, other just really high-end wrestling analysis on a weekly basis. I host The Fix with Todd Martin on Wednesdays for 2 hours. I host the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show with Bruce Mitchell for 2 hours on weekends. We do post-pay-per-view roundtables, so much more. Plus, you get ad-free and plug-free episodes of the PW Torch livecast with your subscription. So if the ads and plugs are kind of annoying, try to looking for the fast forward button, or you got to sit through them. And hey, for $10 a month, we'll give you a ton of additional content, but also take the ads away. Same thing for our website. The ads go away when you become a member. So the mobile version of the site and the desktop version of the site are ad free when you go VIP. So lots of perks. Go check it out. Just an unmatched library of insider information and audio, PDF and text article formats. The place to find out more details is pwtorch.com/govip. When you scroll down that page, when you're on the VIP details page, at the bottom, there's a ton of testimonials from VIP members that might sway you also if you're wondering, do I really want to budget $10 a month for wrestling content when there's so much free out there? Read what VIP members have to say. I think they'll be persuasive that there's a reason sometimes you want to pay for a higher level of content because your time is valuable. You might as well spend it getting the best wrestling coverage you can. And we're giving you a chance this month to get that for just $2 for the first month. So we're taking $8 off a one-month subscription and the coupon code when you're in the sign-up form. It's mobile-friendly. It takes about 2 minutes to sign up. The coupon code at the bottom that you want to enter is SURVIVE2016. All right. I'm back with John Arezzi of the formerly of the Pro Wrestling Spotlight Radio Show, co-hosting with me today, talking Monday Night Raw. We're taking your calls. You are invited to call us right now, 515-605-9345. And up next, as noted, is Jason from Australia. Jason, thanks for calling. Thanks for holding during the break. What have you got for us today?
No problem, Wade. And hi to you, John. Nice to speak to you. I'll just quickly say, Wade, as a 6 to 7 year member of PW Torch, I mean, VIP, I can easily say that the Bruce Mitchell audio show is worth the $10 alone by itself, and everything else is just an added bonus. So for anyone that's thinking about it, there's nothing to think about. You just do it. It's great value. And I'll be a lifelong subscriber, so you've definitely got me for life. So thank you for everything that you do. Look, I'll make my points. Just quickly, I find the thing about the WWE Network, I almost find that the more that they're offering me, the less I'm actually watching. It's weird in that way, but I find, you know, with these branded pay-per-views that go for 3 hours, I'm now just picking what I want. I'm just finding the more they're giving, the less I'm actually wanting to watch it. And I feel like they've let themselves down. You've got the theory that less equals more. I feel like they're just piling all this stuff on there. And I'm like, well, I don't really want to watch that. That's my point on the WWE Network. As far as the Survivor Series matchup, I have to say, I don't like the idea of AJ Styles and Dean Ambrose being together on the same team straight after they've just been involved in this heated feud. The same with Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens. To me, it's just undermining everything that we've invested in as viewers over the past 3 to 4 months, but they're coming together to fight for Shane and Stephanie McMahon. There's something about that which I don't particularly like. The other thing is, in relation to the Cruiserweights, I'm happy that they may be going to SmackDown, but I have no interest in adding an extra hour to my TV viewing watching 205 Live. What I did like, though, was the graphic that they showed of the 10 tag teams that will be facing each other, and I thought to myself, you know, if the Cruiserweights were exclusive to SmackDown and the tag team division was just exclusive to Raw, all of a sudden you got 8 to 10 strong tag teams that you could build around on Raw and really, you know, flush out that three hours. So that's what I like about that. And just one other point before I go. I like the Goldberg-Lesnar segment, but what I don't like about it is, once again, their most heated and I think well-scripted segments tend to go towards the part-time wrestlers. You know, I would have liked it if that was, if you're turning a Kevin Owens face, you have him, you know, say you were to turn Kevin Owens face, you want to build him up as a bit of a badass, you have security blocking him from Lesnar. Or if you wanted to go down the path of Cesaro, that ship's probably sailed. But utilizing these good segments for full-time wrestlers, I thought would be better instead of just all the part-timers that seem to get the best segments.
Great comments, Jason. I again, sincerely appreciate your kind words about VIP membership, first of all. Second of all, you're bringing up another thing that we didn't go super deep into, even though we had a caller question us earlier on this too, John. You know, what would happen to Raw if the cruiserweights went away? I mean, I think we saw in tonight's episode of Raw, there's plenty of wrestlers to fill 3 hours if they make us care about those wrestlers and make us care about the product and what's at stake. You know, they did fine without cruiserweights, and they'll do fine without them again if that's where things go. But some would say, no, they didn't do fine. And one of the things about the cruiserweights that was great is it was going to help give us some athleticism, some guaranteed fast-paced, hard-hitting, state-of-the-art athleticism once or twice per show, like Nitro featured. You know, I thought a big part of what made Nitro succeed, and granted, it's not top two, maybe not even top three, but maybe number four as a factor, was it, maybe it was top two or three. Some might argue that it had state-of-the-art athleticism after years of WWE producing a product and WCW, sadly, for years copying them, going for, you know, hillbillies having hoedowns in the ring and big, muscular, lumbering wrestlers. WCW, yes, they had Hall and Nash. Yes, they had Hogan. And I mean, you can list the attractions, the legendary wrestlers who all assembled in one place, Piper and Flair and all that. But the cruiserweight division and the value that it had on Nitro, I think, is underrated. And I think the value that it has had on Raw has been underwhelming. And so I don't think losing them, I don't think Raw losing the cruiserweights would actually matter all that much. And that's one of the problems that I've had with the execution of the cruiserweights so far, is that the cruiserweights did not make the splash that I think when we were talking about the cruiserweights in theory, we thought that they would make. So when you talk about replacing them on Raw, John, I don't think it would be that big of a deal to have to replace them on Raw, because I don't think they've been that spectacular so far. It's been okay. It hasn't been a drag on the show athletically, but it certainly hasn't brought it up to some new level like during those peak Nitro years.
That's very true. That's a very, very good point, Wade. There's no Rey Mysterio Jr. in the cruiserweights right now.
Right.
There's no Juventud Guerrera. I mean, there's no character development other than they threw a bunch of cruiserweights into this program, but no one is standing out above anyone else. And there's and it's a disappointment in comparison to what Nitro used to do.
I'm hoping that if they go to SmackDown, Mauro Ranallo calling it, and maybe a different writing team can make it work.
Yeah.
And maybe what will help is 205 Live is it gives the cruiserweights a chance. And I think there's a lot of problems with the format. I mean, just getting people to stay in the building to watch cruiserweights who aren't over yet and aren't seen as the stars after the big stars, quote unquote, headline SmackDown, just that's going to be a problem. And if you're filming a one-hour show for the network and it's full of people leaving the building, that's rough. And so do they advertise a big dark match with the main heavyweights to try to keep people in their seats? And will they still stick around for the 3-plus-hour mark to see a dark match when they've already seen all the big stars on TV? I think there's a lot of problems, and we've talked about them this last week or so on the live cast and on VIP audio shows in depth. That said, I think it can help the cruiserweights if they are on SmackDown to have a 205 live show that happened the week before where they can recap it, where the cruiserweights can actually be booked with some more depth and they can win squash matches. They can have longer showcase matches where they really shine without concern that they're going to drive viewers away because, well, it's just a bunch of wrestling and, you know, a part of our audience just isn't into that, even though it's a pro wrestling show. So to me, I think having Mauro call it, a new writing team write it, and 1 hour isolated for the cruiserweights to help develop characters and storylines, which can be recapped on SmackDown, that all might help lead to a better cruiserweight division than what we've seen so far.
We can dream, can't we?
Yep. We just lay out the scenario of hope, right? And hope they follow. At least the path is there for them to take. I don't know if they will take it. All right, let's go to 630 next. 630, thanks for holding. Please state your name and the city you're calling from.
Yeah, this is Adrian from Aurora. How you guys doing?
Doing great. Thanks for calling.
Great.
Aurora, Illinois?
Yeah, Aurora, Illinois. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Three things here real quick. I didn't watch the show this evening, but from what I read, it sounded like it was a really good show. I got a question. You know, what does it say about the wrestlers in the back who work so hard, do all these bumps and stuff, when you've got McMahon and Triple H publicly showing desperation to get star power, as far as like McGregor and Rousey, to come in for middling pay-per-views that they've got going on there. I mean, I just think it's a slap in the face for all those guys in the back that leave their families when they're not even treated as real stars. They're just kind of props in this McMahon variety show that's going on. So that was one thing that was on my mind. As far as the $10 is concerned each month, that's probably the only way I would ever watch any of these pay-per-views outside of WrestleMania or Royal Rumble, because really they're pretty much just longer Raw and SmackDown shows anyway. So there's really no storyline progression that goes on with those. And last, if Linda actually gets a cabinet seat with Trump, do you think that would cause Vince to perhaps pull back from producing Raw, or would it be pretty much status quo? And that's all I got, guys. You guys have a good evening.
Thanks, Adrian.
Thank you.
John, Linda McMahon, cabinet position. I think Secretary of Commerce is what has been rumored. My take is it
really
would affect things. Yeah. I mean, she's been active in the Republican Party. I love breaking news to guests. Yep. Yeah, she's been active in the Republican Party since losing her Senate race twice, John. She was active in supporting Trump, and, you know, you get that cabinet positions are often rewards for supporting the winner.
Yeah, I guess they contributed to his campaign. And the thing is, I mean, when you look at Trump's Twitter account and who he follows, and McMahon is only one of like 50 people he follows. So there's a deep relationship there. And it goes back to the WrestleMania and Atlantic City days when Trump brought them in. For WrestleMania's, what was it, 3 and 4, I believe? Four and five.
Three
like
was
that.
Pontiac. Yeah.
4 and 5, yeah. So, yeah. I mean, yeah, that would be, that's cartoonish. it's kind of bizarre, but, you know, the world we live in today is really, it's just a reality show world as it is. I mean, including the new president-elect. I mean, it's an interesting time we live in.
Well, Linda was the president, the vice president or president of the company for years. I mean,
yeah.
she was very active on the business side. She's got credentials in that sense. You strip away what the end product was and the controversy, you know, of being associated with some of the tawdry sides of wrestling and all that. But I mean, just on the credibility of running a big company and growing it, you know, I mean, it resume wise, if it wasn't wrestling and it was, you know, selling printers, and computers, you know, people would be like, wow, successful businesswoman. So, and you know, I thought, you know, possibly she would just drop out of politics when she lost her second Senate race, and she stayed active.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, this wasn't just, I want to be Senator McMahon. She was enjoying being involved in politics. So yeah, it could happen. But John, I don't think it would affect Vince McMahon or WWE in terms of his involvement at all. No.
No. No, but then, you know, you could count on President-elect to be at WrestleMania next year. There'd be some type of angle. Something's going on.
Yep. Wrestlers who are full-time feeling snubbed by, or not snubbed, but, you know, disrespected perhaps by, you know, whether it's Goldberg and Lesnar as part-timers and special attractions or celebrities being brought in. I mean, I get that. CM Punk, ironically, was upset with that, saying, hey, you know, we're on the road full time. We'll gain from the position if you put us in the main event. You've got to draw with us year round. You shouldn't be bringing all these guys in from the outside, taking our spots. You know, I was sympathetic to that to a degree, but I also argued the counter is the reason WrestleMania means what it does, so that if you put Punk in a main event at WrestleMania, it would give him a boost. The reason the WrestleMania brand itself could give a boost to somebody like Punk is because all prior years, Vince McMahon has always sought out celebrities. So it's a little selfish to say, make this the year you don't bring in celebrities and let your full-time guys, you know, fill the whole card and get all the top spots. WrestleMania is known for, whether it's Floyd Mayweather or Mike Tyson or Donald Trump or The Rock and on. I mean, it is a special attraction show and always has been. So I get it for WrestleMania to a degree, but I think what we're seeing on this show is, guess who wasn't in line on the stage, single file for drinking fountain time, taking orders and pep talks from Stephanie? Brock Lesnar and Goldberg. Why? Because it would completely undermine their characters. And so that tells you something. Maybe there ought to be some people who can't be controlled or told where to be and where to stand and not to, you know, keep your hands off each other. And so it's kind of going full circle, but WWE, John, has put themselves in a position where they need celebrities to draw because they don't treat their own wrestlers as big stars anymore. And I think that is something that's fixable if they just change the way that they present their own talent.
Yeah, that's totally true. I mean, they should, and they bring the celebrities in and the special attractions to spike income, to spike revenue, to spike interest, to get mainstream media to cover it in a larger way. So they put themselves into this corner, so there's no other alternative but to continue the path on the special attractions and the celebrities to be involved in these huge events.
USC, I think, does it right, John, because you see the stars
in
the crowd, and they're in the crowd watching.
Yeah.
You know, that's what that conveys to the audience is that even celebrities take time out of their schedule to watch Conor McGregor fight.
Yep.
And if USC headlined with the stars who were sitting in the crowd and put them in the main event match, which, of course, I mean, I know it doesn't work as much because UFC is a real sport, pro wrestling, you have some more creative liberties, but it would undermine the notion that Conor McGregor is the biggest star in the sport, and it would say we need to bring these other people in. And that's a challenge. You know, I thought Vince, you know, like going back to WrestleMania 1 and the war to settle the score on MTV, John, Vince McMahon, I thought, struck a balance. It was, you know, Mr. T
that was brilliant.
Was treated as an equal to Hogan in a way, but Hogan, I think fans saw Mr. T as Hulk's buddy, but not outshining him. Same thing with Cyndi Lauper being the cheerleader.
It was so believable. You know, Albano and the heel role that he played in the beginning, that was believable. And then when you finally had that first integration of rock artists and, you know, celebrity, mainstream celebrities, it was so exciting. Such an exciting time to see it. And it was unscripted. And there was heat, genuine heat. When Piper smashed that album over Albano's head. And I mean, it was an amazing time. And today, there's no comparison. I mean, today it's watered down nonsense. And it's just, and I hate that I'm talking this way, you know. I just want to make one quick point about UFC. And I came late to the dance with UFC. I mean, what are they on? UFC 205 now this past week?
Yep.
I am now hooked. Hook, line, and sinker. And it was from the Ronda Rousey, you know, the streak that she was on. And then, you know, of course, Brock coming back and then CM Punk and this McGregor. I mean, I watched the show Saturday night and I was just kind of like every single fight was amazing. And I had never bought into this before until now. Now I'm hooked. But we do need that $9.99 a month for UFC.
I don't think you're getting it anytime soon. Maybe for the non, you know, Conor McGregor fights. I think they're, you know, they already have their network and they already put some live events on there, but they're the fourth tier shows. Oh God. Yeah. He's just larger than life. But I think as long as Conor McGregor can do 1.5 plus million buys, the idea of for $70, give or take, we're the days of $10 for an all-you-can-eat buffet of UFC is not going to happen. Let's go to Darnell from New York. You're on with John Arezzi and I'm Wade Keller. What do you got for us?
Hey, man. Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Good.
I have a question I wanted to ask. Do you all think it would help WWE if they possibly had, I guess, some more edgier, like if they created another show that was catered more towards the adults and had it on the WWE network, I guess kind of like to, I guess, bring up their ratings because I feel like this show is so PG and it's like even the times tonight when I was watching and Goldberg was talking, I kind of felt like he wanted to say more, but he couldn't say more because maybe he was told, okay, you can't say this, you can't say that. So do you guys think it would be better for them if they had a different show that was a lot edgier and really for adults? Because I feel like the product has changed so much.
Darnell, let me ask you this. Do you imagine the show having the same wrestlers who are on Raw and or SmackDown, or just a separate roster that's kind of an ECW, what, you know, they originally wanted ECW to be on Sci-Fi?
Yeah, I think you'd have to do another ECW-type show. Sorry, Kohler.
Yeah, because I feel like it's too, like, when I watch it, I feel like I'm a child. Like, I'm like, oh, these aren't grown men fighting. I feel like it's so scripted that there is no place to believe that it's real anymore, because I feel like it's so kiddie compared to when I was growing up in the Attitude Era, and you had people like pouring cement in people's cars and blowing up stuff, and that stuff was cool to, you know, teenagers. So I just feel like they got too far off of, I guess, being able to put out for everyone.
John, I think they have sanded the rough corners and edges to the point that Darnell's right. It's so smoothed out now. There's not. I mean, I'm taking the metaphor quite far here, but it is like the edges have been sanded into rounded edges. There's no edginess left.
There is no edginess left, and because of them being a public company and this perception of you have to be PG. I mean, it's just it's pro wrestling. You know, it's pro wrestling. I mean, the first time I ever watched it, I was 6 or 7. And, you know, Dr. Jerry Graham was beating up Antonio Pugliese, Tony Parisi, and Bruno Sammartino runs in and smacks a suitcase over his head, and there's blood gushing. And, I mean, that was back in the 60s. I mean, and now it's almost like so politically correct, it's hard to watch. And when you do get that little bit of heat, like Goldberg and Brock had tonight, it's like, wow, I mean, that's what I enjoy. That's what I like.
I'm with you, John. No, and I'm not even sure that it's possible to have that with 5 hours of first-round programming, Monday and Tuesday back-to-back. You know, I mean, I like 205 Live as a separate, isolated show with its own booking team, its own roster, its own environment and ecosystem. I mean, that has a better chance, for the division to work than the way that they've handled it on Raw. I think there was a much better way to handle it on Raw that wouldn't have necessitated a 205 Live show where they had to have their own island to do their thing. But given the reality of Vince McMahon and his, either, you know, his impatience and the fact that they kind of just had bad luck. Well, I don't know if bad luck's the word, but they weren't willing to spend the money and plan far enough ahead to get that really deep roster of world-class, jaw-dropping cruiserweights. And I think more than the booking, although the booking has, I think, let me down most of the time, I think they've had some nice, suitable, athletic, smooth cruiserweights, but not those one or two standout personalities who weren't already defined down like a Brian Kendrick, and they have lacked that really special Rey Mysterio, Eddie Guerrero, or heck, Ultimate Dragon, just somebody doing things people had never seen before. So that's, I just think people looked at the cruiserweights and, oh, it's that mid-level tag team wrestler who left and I've been told is desperate for a job and is one loss away from, you know, I mean, I just, they told the wrong story and they didn't have the right talent. And so I think a lot of things have blunted what could have been successful if things had gone their way. That's a bit of a side story to what I'm saying, but it's also related in the sense that if you're going to do an adult show, you have to have, you're almost drawing attention to the fact then that it's that what you like about wrestling isn't on the main shows. And I would just say the solution for cruiserweights and the solution for an edgier product is just do the cruiserweights better in the main product and add some edge back to the main product.
Yeah, that's a good point, Wade. I mean, it's all something they should do, but, you know, once again, will they?
Yep. John, always great to have you on. I appreciate getting your reaction to Raw tonight, your insights.
My pleasure. My pleasure. And listen, I think everyone should definitely take advantage of your promotion for the month because for $2, the content that you deliver, and, you know, I'm not trying to blow smoke or anything here, but you offer a great value
to the wrestling fans out there. So I would definitely give the personal endorsement of someone who's been around for a long time that become a VIP member, because you'll get your money's worth and then some. And that special code again, Wade, is?
Survive 2016. You've done this before, John. Survive 2016.
It was my pleasure to be here, as always. I really appreciate every time you ask me to do it.
John, I'm always excited when you say yes. And by the way, Vince Russo, early incarnations of Vince Russo on the current episodes of the Pro Wrestling Spotlight radio show. He came on as an editor of your newsletter and a whole other array of things that kind of grew. And that's a whole other story we've talked about on past shows when you were on Interview Thursday with me talking about that. But it's another kind of enticement to go VIP is to hear Vince Russo's very first radio appearance. Sounds like Russo, but also a little bit less swagger, less brash during those early shows.
Boy, I miss those days.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. All right, that's John Arezzi from the Pro Wrestling Spotlight Radio Show and so many other parts of pro wrestling industry over the years. Here are details now coming up on a PW Torch VIP membership. Don't forget, tomorrow, Pat McNeil, following SmackDown, and Wednesday, Midday Flagship at 1 p.m. Eastern. In the afternoon, I'll be joined by Raj Giri from Wrestling Inc., and we'll be talking about the big picture stories in pro wrestling headed into Survivor Series, WWE Network, like we did here, the sale. Perhaps we'll get into the Joey Styles controversy, the Donald Trump joke that fell flat and got him fired or his employment discontinued from a number of companies, it appears. And so much more. That'll be coming up midweek Wednesday. And then Sean Waltman, X-Pac, joins me Thursday for Interview Thursday live at 1 Eastern. He has rearranged his schedule to make this possible. I am always, always happy when Sean is able to do our show. He's a great guest. And people say when he's on this show, it's must-listen podcasting. So check us out. Real busy week coming up this stretch of days. And then Survivor Series on Sunday with a live post game show Sunday night after Survivor Series 2. So we look forward to a busy week with a lot in between. And here are more details on going VIP. Don't forget, when you sign up, coupon code SURVIVE2016, all one word. If you're a fan of the PW Torch livecast, you might want to consider a PW Torch VIP membership. When you do that, you get access to an exclusive RSS feed of not only ad-free, plug-free versions of every single PW Torch livecast, but also over 50 other VIP exclusive podcasts per month, including the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline. I also host three other flagship VIP exclusive podcasts: The Midweek Fix with Todd Martin, The Weekend Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, each about 2 hours in length, and the post pay-per-view roundtables with the 1 hour analysis of every WWE pay-per-view and some other ones too. Also, ad-free access to PWTorchVIP.com, and that is mobile-friendly and PC and desktop-friendly. And also access to almost three decades of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter, dating back to the late 1980s, over 1,400 back issues, with my pay-per-view reports on every single pay-per-view match since the late 1980s, with star ratings and match descriptions, roundtable reviews from the staff on every pay-per-view, cover stories on the biggest story every single week in pro wrestling, march through them as a VIP member 1 week at a time, read our exclusive Torch Talks with pro wrestling's biggest names, hard-hitting editorials, backstage tidbits you will not hear anywhere else, and much more. It's all available. Check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. That's pwtorch.com/govip. Exclusive podcasts, exclusive new newsletters every week, ad-free access to our website, and access to 28-plus years of archives. It's all waiting for you if you go VIP. Find out more details, a checklist of all the benefits of being a VIP member, along with testimonials from current members and a sign-up form that's mobile-friendly. Takes about 90 seconds to sign up. Go check it out today, pwtorch.com/govip. Thanks, everybody, for joining me today. Sorry to the callers we did not get to. Try again tomorrow following SmackDown when Pat McNeil joins me on that show. As soon as SmackDown goes off the air on USA Network, we begin our show on the air. And if you're hearing us on delay on a podcast feed, you can Find the live stream for our shows, as always, at pwtorchlivecast.com. That'll also tell you when the next show is scheduled. Follow me on Twitter at TheWadeKeller. Follow our brand at PWTorch. Follow our sister brand at MMA Torch. And thanks, as always, to Kids on Bridges out of the United Kingdom for the theme songs and background music on this program. And speaking of which, we now sign off with some Kids on Bridges.
Yeah.